Hello there, and welcome to Questions Big and Small, the podcast. My name is Whitley Zier.
And I'm Jacob Rice. This podcast is hopefully going to be a bi-weekly show where we can come together and talk about life's biggest questions, but also its small ones. We're just friends who think that we are really funny.
This podcast is going to be a continuation of the blog at questionsbigandsmall.wordpress.com. We really love our blog a lot, and if you haven't read it yet, please go read it. But we just decided that we liked making that blog so much that we wanted to talk about our questions out loud in podcast form.
So on the podcast, you'll probably always be hearing from us, Jacob and Whitley, but we're also going to be joined by some of our acquaintances. Like on this episode, we've got our great pal, Emily Close, helping us out. And if you have any questions for us to answer, please keep them to yourselves.
Wait a minute, Jacob, we actually need those questions. Please, if you have questions for us to answer or you just want us to talk about something, send the questions into the contact information on questionsbigandsmall.wordpress.com. So I guess you have to read the blog now, suckers. Sorry for the audio quality on this podcast that you're about to hear. It's our first time doing it, but from now on, we've got one of those good audio boys helping us out. So forgive us and enjoy the show. Questionsbigandsmall.wordpress.com, the podcast.
That it is. I'm Jacob.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Whitley.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Hi, Whittles.
We're going to answer the world's questions. Not the world's, big and small. Mostly our questions, big and small, but if you have questions.
And for each question, we're going to each decide whether... individually, whether that's a big question or a small question, just so that we can make sure that we're getting to the bottom of these best way possible.
These issues.
Yeah, these issues.
Here's my, probably one of my biggest issues right now. As a college student, how do we save the drug dealers?
Explain that a little bit.
Well, I don't mean like... I don't want to save them as in, like, give them...
Like, accepting Jesus Christ into their heart?
I'm not really concerned with that nonsense.
Oh, my God. Just gonna let that one slide. Keep going.
Who can't put that in there?
I can't put that in there. I'm not really concerned with that nonsense.
No, I want to save them in the sense that... Donald Trump is just telling so many people no right now, and I feel like they should be told yes.
But why the drug dealers?
Why in particular just the drug dealers?
Why do we need to make sure that their business stays afloat?
I feel like there's a lot of other people who would be like, this is where Donald Trump is going wrong, but you're like, no, it's the drug dealers. Yeah. Forget like the helpless
like
immigrants.
Like the small business the drug owners. Dealers. They're having a real tough time in America, but Whitley, you're saying no. Like
we need to redirect all resources.
I want the people who are selling an ounce for $20. Those are the people that I want to save.
Yeah,
because that's a smaller. I guess it's a small business too.
So I would they're the smallest business, but also one of the world's biggest businesses.
So I would consider this a big question, just because I feel like there's a lot of key players in this situation here.
There are. Growing up in Southeast Houston. I knew some of the players in that business, and I'd say it's a big question.
I think, it is my big question. So I just had some ideas to save the drug dealers. I don't know, you guys just tell me how you feel about them. One of them is cows.
Cows, okay.
Cows become the new drug dealers?
Well, okay, so I think the problem with the drug dealers, what they need help with the most, like if we're outsourcing to them, like we're helping them, is they need help getting the drugs across the border.
I mean, they could use their South American cows, too. Also known as a llama.
The South American... The cows of South America, the llamas.
Now, why do they have to make their drugs outside of the country? Why can't they just make the drugs here?
Because then we're not dealing with international drug dealers.
But that's not who we're dealing with. Right now, we're just dealing with drug dealers.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, they could, but
I don't really... like. I mean, I'm not dealing or being dealt drugs either way, but like I really don't care about like South African, South American drug dealers. Like it's only
keep it local.
Like
know?
I feel like it's really only the American drug dealers that we're really concerned about.
So we're trying to keep this like a
the man
support
DJ
local businesses
Trump,
sort of thing.
Kind of like bearing down on these people. I feel like we should be focusing on the people that he's really saying no to, which are the people in America.
I think he's saying he's fine with the American drug dealers because those are like his business and business. Oh my God, those are his business people.
Those are the ones. Donald that are... Trump is a drug dealer?
No. He might be.
I think he gets dealt drugs. I don't know if he deals the drugs.
I think that the drug dealers that I'm most concerned about their health and safety and well-being are the drug dealers in the other countries that are trying to get into our country. And Donald Trump just sticks his tiny hands in there and says, no, sir, you cannot come into our country.
So basically what you're concerned about is the people getting in who are the exact people that they're like, wow, we should really make sure these people do not get into the country.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're like building a wall and you're like, no. I want the people that you're building the wall for to definitely make it in.
Yes.
So maybe we do like a t-shirt.
So I don't think this is
save the drug dealers.
Yes.
I don't think this is a drug dealer question. I think this roots down to a refugee problem.
No, I
or you only care about the people trying to bring drugs into this country.
I don't care about the refugees unless they're drug dealers.
We're just trying to give you a lot more credit than I think you deserve in this situation.
I'm trying, but I think that...
trying to save you here, but you're really just not taking it.
Yeah. A lot of bait just hanging out here for you to grab.
Here, you could go this way and make it not to... the drug dealers. Okay.
Okay. I think you're onto something with the t-shirt idea. We can make it really a really cool logo.
Yeah.
If we go by CC Creations, we could probably only do two colors on the front, two colors on the back. Costs, but we could probably go comfort colors.
We could probably, I think if we sold them on campus, that'd be a very popular t-shirt.
Yeah,
save the drug dealers.
And I'm sure the comfort colors probably hold in the smell of drugs a little bit better than
That's true. That is a good point. They're thicker,
so it could be they're drug doing shirts, the shirts that they wear when they do the
drug doing shirts. I don't think we want to. Are we selling the save the drug dealer shirts to drug dealers?
If we're gonna make a t-shirt, I need somebody.
Maybe they should make some.
I mean,
if
I'm a drug dealer, I'm for sure buying a shirt for save the drug dealers.
I think maybe if they formed some sort of union that allowed them to get into the country easier, some sort of priority boarding sort of situation. Towards getting into the U.S. And making sure that they had union representatives there when they're trying to cross over. I think that's something we might want to consider.
Yeah,
a solution to this problem.
Can they really unionize on an illegal activity?
I mean, you can unionize whenever you want, Who's to stop you?
If everyone does something, it's
you can marry a bridge in this day and age. That's a union, so I think you can unionize in just about whatever you want.
Can you marry a bridge?
Yeah. And a horse.
How do you know that?
You can also get married in Taco Bell in Las Vegas.
Yep, I saw that.
I'll do that. Actually, I hate Taco Bell. I would not do that.
I wouldn't marry Taco Bell, but...
No.
Nor would I get married in a Taco Bell.
No.
God willing.
I definitely wouldn't marry a horse in a Taco Bell. That'd be really weird.
So I had some ideas to help the drug dealers out.
Okay, yeah. Right. Besides, I think we're onto something with the t-shirt, but...
T-shirt drive, blood drive for the drug dealers.
Blood drive?
See, I don't think that you can
make money, right?
And I don't think that you can use the I don't think you can use the blood from the drug dealers. So you'd really just be throwing away a lot of blood. That's not your greatest idea, Whittles. But unless we're trying to give blood to
other drug
people
dealers
who are dealing drugs, then
maybe
I guess doesn't do anything.
Instead of actually doing drugs, you just do drugs, give your blood to someone else. And then they're
in case someone else wants to fail a drug test.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then, yeah. Not many people are in that.
It's the same idea as if you're drunk and your friend wants to be drunk but there's no more alcohol, you should just give them your blood. That's a common theory that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
When at parties, just do a quick blood transfusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can also feel drunk right now.
Mm-hmm.
Without the calories.
That's smart.
And I hear that it makes you sober quicker. The person who's giving away the blood.
Yeah, it does. It helps when... That's what you're supposed to do when someone blacks out, actually. That's what I've heard.
Take their blood?
Immediately take their blood.
Yeah,
should you carry around leeches to, parties?
I always
not
have a couple,
do that?
Couple syringes.
Party leeches?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, without doubt.
Yeah.
Why do you think my purse is so big? I don't know where else to carry those.
Carrying all your...
That's how I, I don't usually even have enough room for my car keys. That's how, I prevent drunk driving. I just don't carry my car keys because I just have so many...
If you end of the party's coming around, you have all those leeches, and you're like, damn, I have to drive. You just pop a couple suckers on your arm, and you are out of there.
Yeah.
In the clear.
Yeah, in a couple minutes, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
I mean, you're a little bit discombobulated, a little pale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of blood to lose at once, enough to lower your BAC level. But... But, you're probably okay to go.
Yeah, just drink some Sprite. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sprite and some water. Wow, we got so off track of that.
All right, yeah, back to the main
initial question.
To the main subject. Okay. Tonight.
So some ideas on how to. Okay, so one, I think to save the drug dealers is it's got to be a campaign. We've got to raise awareness to the plight of the drug dealers, okay. And then also we need to have ways to help them, like. People, we send over UNICEF to help refugees. We need to send over UniDrugs to help the drug dealers. UniDrugs. And so what they're going to do is, I've thought about this a lot, is they take, well, people can't just come over the border anymore because we have good old little Trumpsters.
Build that wall.
Yeah, he wants to make America great again by building a wall. And I think people can't come through that wall, but what about cows? Also, you can put so many balloons what? Up a cow.
You have to wonder, though, like, if he's saying, I don't want people from, like, Mexico getting into the U.S., does that extend to cows? Is it all life? Wildlife included? Are cows going to be like, how does he feel about Mexican cows?
And if he's letting, I think he won't let Mexican cows in, because then he's got to worry about those people who, like, go to parties in, like, a horse suit and where, like, two people make up a horse.
That's
you know?
True.
And what if someone just started doing that with a cow?
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, cows that are actually two humans.
Yeah, like
running
that,
over the border. Or, you they know, could probably have a lot of T-Rexes. I bet he's seen Jurassic Park. He's not going to mess with that.
Or Jurassic World.
He's definitely seen Jurassic World.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if the
cows is gonna
plus, if
out.
They're making a wall, I don't know many cows. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know many cows that can, like, climb fences.
Also, how are you going to know which cow has the drugs?
Yeah. They all look pretty similar. Unless you can, like, teach a cow to, like,
have you considered turtles?
That they turtles?
Drug turtles, because they could swim across the river.
But they were kind of slow.
Smart. Ooh, what about drug snakes?
You could put a lot of drugs in a snake.
Mm-hmm. But
get, like, one of those.
How are you going to control a snake's not like a dog or like a homing
pigeon. Snakes.
Remote control implants in their brain.
Wow, do we have that technology?
I think so. They didn't, and I think in a
Spy Kids
Hey,
Whitley, this is a serious podcast. You can't just make shit up if it doesn't exist in real life.
No, I think I saw it in a movie where they, like,
Spy Kids.
Yes. If it's,
I saw it on the internet. So
yes, Spy Kids is the credible movie of our generation.
Interesting theory. Although I don't see how this is going to particularly help the drug dealers so much as the actual drugs themselves.
Yeah. Because they're just going to be sending
across helps the drug
users. How are we getting money to
drug dealers?
I guess Venmo.
Yeah, Venmo.
That was an easy solution.
That's probably
problem.
Why they, like at drug dealer Mexico City.
Yeah, at Mexican drug dealer 101. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man, whoever got that name, that name's
one
probably already
jackpot.
Taken.
Yeah, I just told all these people that are going to listen to this podcast, too.
Yeah.
It's probably going to get a sudden influx of, 2 cents.
No, so really, this podcast in itself is helping the drug dealers.
That's true. We are raising awareness right here, right now.
Yeah.
All right. What's the well, let's move on now. You've got to
right.
that. Do you want to talk about lunchboxes for college?
Okay, so what is I think this is a big question,
okay,
personally.
So explain this situation here.
Okay, so my problem is that I don't want to buy lunch on campus every day, because that's just so much money.
Okay.
But I want to make my own food and carry it and get it there in a stylish, affordable manner, but I don't want to look like a dweeb carrying a lunchbox around.
I feel like this is a small question.
I feel like lunch is never a small question.
See, but I don't make my own food, so it's definitely a small question for me, personally. But my simple solution is a brown paper bag.
But I'll leave that. I'll lose that.
Well, yes.
Plus, what if you have cold food?
Well, sorry, I don't have a solution for that. I'm not a miracle worker, Emily.
Okay.
So you buy, like, 150 bag, like, thing of brown paper bags, and there's your
solution right there.
Your solution.
Personally, I carry a very stylish Vera Bradley. Ooh. Lunchbox around okay. campus.
Oh.
It is actually not mine. It was my roommate's. She has three, and so I took one. And
stealing, that's super specialty. What else? You'd be great at that. Just find one that you like and just take it.
There you go. There might even be a lunch inside.
Yeah.
Two for me.
Is that all it takes?
That's two birds with one stone. So, like.
One stone. That's nice. You just have to find a stone first.
Or it's college. You just don't care.
Yeah, or if you just put all of the food in a really big Tupperware container and then just carry the Tupperware container around. Very stylish. Urban chic, now, you know?
But I stick it in my backpack, and that takes up valuable backpack room.
What else do you like want to put in your backpack that you can't?
Books, laptop, jacket.
So a bunch of unnecessary
spare
stuff?
Spare pair of pants.
How many times have you been on campus and just been like, damn it, I don't have a spare pair of pants.
Honestly, that has happened to me a lot of times. You know how you wake up in the morning, go to your 8 a.m., like, it's so freaking cold outside. And you get to school and you're walking around like, oh my god, it's like 90 degrees.
Yes.
What would be more useful in that moment than a spare pair of pants? Swap in and out of.
Like a pair of shorts, you mean?
Shorts are pants. They're just shorter pants.
Short pants.
Gotcha.
Well, if they're shorts, they don't take up that much room.
That's true.
So, like, you should be able to squeeze them in.
You would think that. My shorts are bulky.
I mean, to be fair,
well,
if you
don't
are
bring
carrying
cargo shorts to in your backpack. That just sounds like a personal issue.
You considered a pair of the zip-off pants.
Oh, I have, actually.
Zip-on, zip-off.
Yes. Oh, the ones that you can, like,
yeah, you just, no. That's no. Just, like, the bottom half zips off. A very Boy Scout-esque look.
Well, see, I think that goes against Whitley's initial concern of looking like a dweeb.
No, I'm actually pro zip-off pants because I've been doing a lot of hiking research lately for my 6-month hiking trip that I'm going to take one day down the line, and I almost bought a pair of zip-off pants this week just because I wanted to.
Nothing would make you look more like a hiker than a pair of zip-off pants.
That's what I thought.
Know?
I was like, I'll get
and you have to look the part.
Zip-off pants are what makes someone look like a hiker?
Oh, for
not
sure.
Not the boots or like the really expensive backpack, but the zip-off pants.
And you have to also have the sun hat. Fishing hat, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
From Columbia. That's important. Columbia. That's true. If you're not wearing name brand hiking gear, you're not really a hiker. Yeah. It has to all be from REI, and you have to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
That's important as well.
So that's the key to being, I'm going to write that down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Talk good. About gear.
Yeah, all the time.
That's important. Especially if you got like a good deal on it, people be like, oh man, nice grappling hook. And you'll be like, man, it was like super cheap. I bought it at like.
And then the next question would be, why'd you bring it to Orbital Mechanics?
You say, chain motor.
Good segue.
Thank you.
That is
flowed
a very,
like diarrhea.
Yeah, so this chain motor idea then.
Whitley, yeah, I think this is where we should talk about next. This is our question for you. So we know you have this interview with NASA coming up.
Yes.
This week, and we would really like to hear about the idea that really pushed you towards this NASA job.
Okay. This is a long story. So, I don't even know where to really start with it other than I took an orbital mechanics class last semester, and my professor is an astronaut in for that class, so it's kind of important to the story. But, so I was just sitting there, and he was talking about how we have to go back and forth to the space station all the time, and it costs so much money. And I was sitting there contemplating, like, what if we just got all the chain in the world? All of it. And you think, all the chain? No, all of the chain in the world. And we put it, I don't know where we would store this chain. That was my main concern, is like, where do we store the chain? But the chain, we would attach to the space shuttle, and it would launch, and we would hook it on, maybe with a grappling hook, to the ISS, and then we would get a chain motor, which is a little motor that climbs up chain, and it would be like an elevator to the space station, and it would cost $0 except for all the chain in the world. Nobody else could use chain.
Be like a huge industry crash for a while, but it would pan out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my idea, and I thought about it in class for a solid 10 minutes, and I got to the point where I almost raised my hand. It was just like inching up there to tell some. I was like, this is genius. No one has ever thought about this idea before. I have to be the smartest person. I'm going to get so many accolades for telling my professor this. And then I thought, wait a minute.
where we put all that chain. And I put my hand back down.
Now, your first concern was, where are you going to put all that chain?
All the chain but in the world.
Off the top of my head, I can think of at least one other major concern.
I have to say, when she first told me this idea, I did not think of any concerns. My concern was also, where will we store all that chain? Yeah. And, like, if we stored all that chain in one place, would it be so heavy that it caused, like, a divot in the earth? That was my first thought.
Well, I think the chain would cause a divot in the earth, but not for the initial reason that y'all think. Probably because it would literally be dragging through the earth constantly.
It's a ground.
This would have to be a very large chain if it's going to be an elevator that can store valuable goods for space.
All the way to space, it has to be pretty...
And, yeah. Because it's probably going to take a little while for that elevator to go up to space. Like, at least a day, probably. I'd imagine. Okay. So it'd be a pretty big chain to hold this giant elevator with lots of materials. And so this chain... is literally just going to be dragging around the world.
As the space station orbits around the Earth, you just have this chain that's just, like, mowing downtown.
And the space station travels around the Earth in, like, 12 hours. So that's, like, twice a day. You could literally die because a chain could wipe your house out in a single swipe.
Although, if you think about it, what a great adventure would that be? Just, like... twice a day, like breakfast and lunch, boom, chain. And you just know, don't go outside at that point.
Yeah, it'd kind of be like a tornado warning.
Yeah,
except
the sirens
would
go
off.
It'd
say chain warning, and it would tell you where it's going to go. Now, granted, you could probably see the chain coming if you look out in the distance, because the chain would be so big, and you just know. Like, hey,
here it comes.
Tomorrow I'm going to have to buy a new house, because the chain's coming. And so... you'd have to buy, like, chain insurance. That'd be pretty expensive, though.
That'd be pretty steep. That would not be a good industry.
Everybody would... Well, for the people doing chain insurance, they'd be making bank.
No, every now... they're going to have to buy so many new houses.
Well, chain insurance is going to be expensive.
I just taxes would go through the roof.
Well, I think the solution to the chain problem is everybody just builds their house on wheels. After the chain hits your house first, then you rebuild on wheels.
Tiny house.
Out of the path and then put it back in.
Yeah.
Sure. And you know what? That would just teach people not to be hoarders.
Yeah.
I really like the nomadic life they lived, like...
you just put your house
like
hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, I really like
that. You think that was just the way to go, is being a nomad?
Yeah.
They eat, like, lizards.
That's okay.
That's true.
There's fire.
It all tastes like chicken, right?
Yeah. No.
In a post-chain world, everybody must eat lizards.
Yeah. And you know what? It would
the post-chain world, you know? Natural selection would be much more efficient than...
because, you know, if someone gets wiped out by the chain, well, should have listened to the news.
You know when you see that person in class and they're just, like, really struggling with very, like, basic things, like feeding themselves? And you're just, like...
reading? You know, they're the ones that, like, get chosen to read.
Yeah, exactly. And they, like, can't really read and they're just stuttering. You're like, oh my god, you're a mess. You're a sweaty mess. How did you make it this far in life? Like, those people would just be gone at that point.
Yeah.
Like, the people who, like, wake up and they're, like, you know, there's just not all there. You just look at them and you're like, you're just...
the chain's gonna get you, bud.
Chain's
gonna get you.
It's true. I could also see a lot of issues with, like, murder involving the chain and shoving.
Yeah, but, so
I mean, we have too many people on the Earth pretty soon, so...
The chain can solve a lot of problems.
But whoever thinks of this chain idea, or whoever, like, gets it to be a thing, is gonna have to do something about the mass murder that they're going to cause. Now, granted... it will be very unbiased mass murders. So,
there will be no prejudice.
Yeah, it won't be, you know, no like, race or ethnicity or religion is going to die out because of this chain. Unless it just, like, kills everybody.
That's right.
But then at that point...
what difference does it make?
There will be two people alive and they're both on the space station. So
that's true. They're stuck there... unless they hop on the chain motor. But I don't see that ending well for them.
Yeah, that would be a really poor decision. I would just live my days out on the space station.
I would probably die from the chain because of that idea, just right there.
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Well.
I also like to think of all those different sports that could be introduced into the world due to the chain motor.
Yes. Now,
it's like intense dodgeball.
It'd be very slow-paced, and if you bought a ticket to that,
but
you could literally be watching this thing for
you couldn't watch it for that long because eventually the chain would hit you as well, so you'd have to move.
But, yeah, well, you're part of the game. That's what would make this it's like so interactive.
I don't know if I would call it a game so much as your life at that point.
It's like the Hunger Games, but the chain games.
Chain games. Very similar.
That's what I was thinking. The chain rules all.
Yeah.
We also have I feel like we've exhausted the chain game.
Yeah.
So, in your interview with NASA, we wish you the best of luck, by the way.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
But me and Emily have worked up a list of questions that we think you should ask in your question-giving portion of the interview.
When, at the end, do you have any questions for us?
Or you get to ask questions of, like, what am I going to be doing at this job? Or, like, is there any opportunity for me to, like, get a promotion in the near future?
Like, an advancement, sort of like
that. But we've
got
some really, in my opinion, really big questions that would be essential to your job at NASA.
I think they're all big.
Yeah, very big.
The first question would be, was the moon landing real?
You got to know, like, the company that you're joining, exactly. Like, whether
company
or not
culture.
They're credible.
You always want to know company culture, and, like, first of all, are you working for a company that actually landed on the moon, or are you working for a lot of liars? And that's not something that I'm saying with judgment. I'm just saying that's something you should know about the company you're going to work for.
But I already believe that the moon landing was real.
But you don't need to, but you want to know definitively.
Yeah. Because they can't lie to you.
In an interview?
Whitley, well, I mean, they have to tell you everything in an interview. They can
they speak the truth.
Oh yeah, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So help them God.
Do they swear? Do you think recruiters swear in before every interview?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're like, you cannot lie at all. So if they say like my company is really fun, they mean that.
Yeah.
Their company is really fun. And if they say, oh, we have casual Fridays, they mean that.
Yeah,
every single Friday is
and
casual.
A t-shirt. Yeah.
They never lie.
If they say our company is not a pyramid scheme. I don't know if you can trust them on that. Their company might be a pyramid scheme. But
they probably didn't swear in if they feel like they need to state that.
Yeah, that's a really sketchy line. But NASA probably shouldn't say that. Unless they're lying about the moon landing, then they very well could be a pyramid scheme.
If you can't lie in interviews, I've done a few things.
As the interviewee, you do not swear in. So
gotcha.
There's the good news. Yeah. Is that when you said, like, oh, I have a really high GPA, they're fine.
Yeah, but like high relative to like a 1.5. I've got a really high GPA too then, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. My resume at this point is about 55% truth.
I mean, that's more truth than lie, so you're in the clear, I feel like.
Yeah.
As long as you don't dip below that 50%.
Okay, good to know.
So that's the first question.
Our second question would be, when will you get to go into space, personally?
This goes along with, like, the whole promotion thing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's not exactly why you're getting into the company, but eventually you're going to say to yourself, why not me?
You want to know the opportunities, you know?
Okay, I had a dream about this the other day, and I can definitively say I will never ask why not me. I do not want to go to space, because you know what happens when you go to space? You're either one, going to go to space, or you're two, going to die on the way there or on the way back. And I don't know that going to space is a big enough trade-off for me to not die.
But what a way to go out, you know?
Yeah.
Death in space. You'd be like,
you would literally be shooting for the stars, and if you didn't, you would be landing amongst the clouds.
No, which is like, you would be landing and burning up in atmosphere.
Yeah, but you'd already be dead at that point, so whatever.
Atmosphere, clouds, it's all the same. Yeah. Right?
And then you fall to the ground eventually. Like,
I think you're missing the point of this question.
Which was, you want to know the opportunities available to you, such as space travel. When will that be available to you?
Yeah.
And the company benefits,
whenever it comes your time, and they say, hey, Whitley, gear up, you're going to space tomorrow.
Yeah,
you could say, I'm good.
Yeah, but you want to know. It's like, they should list with like 401k, health insurance, dental, when do I get to go to space? Yeah.
So what's an acceptable answer to when should I go to space?
Well,
that's up to NASA.
And NASA. Yeah.
Mostly NASA. But
NASA?
Also,
no, if I get to decide.
Probably, I mean, at least within 5 years.
Yeah, at least.
You can't work there forever.
Yeah.
Maybe
over 5 years,
maybe
I say no. I decline the offer, I walk out right then and there.
You can still work at NASA, you're just opting out of the space travel benefit of the job.
Yeah, or knowing that you probably won't get as many chances to, like, grow in promotion.
Yeah, I mean, that would kind of shoot yourself in the foot there.
Yeah. Okay. So after if it's, like, 10 years, then just understand that you might grow through the company a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's okay. It's all up to you. You know? We're not trying to pressure you. We just think you should know these things going into the job.
Just be prepared.
Yeah, your third question would be, will you be directly involved with extraterrestrials?
This is a huge question.
Are you going to be, like, Area 51-ing? Are you going to be, like, directly involved? Are you going to be in a different department? Like, You know, you want to know where you fall in the company, like, guidelines. Are you going to be working with other extraterrestrials? Or is it going to be more of, like, a zoo-type situation?
I think if extraterrestrials are involved, I only want to accept the job if I get to be, like, X-Files type.
I was going to be our fourth question. Was law enforcement, is it going to be more of an X-Files type situation or Men in Black?
Yeah. Like, are you going to be able to talk about this freely, or are you going to have to use the memory stick to, like, make your family forget exactly that you were their child?
I hope the second one, probably.
You want your parents to forget you?
I want
flash them with a stick and say, see ya.
Yeah, that does actually appeal to me a lot.
It just seems like a very lonely life.
That's true. That is what the third movie is about.
Yeah.
He's very lonely.
And your code name would be W. That's a really long code name.
W.
Double
unless you say
that's
W.
Three syllables.
Oh.
Dub.
Like George W. Bush.
Wow, you would be the same as George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Or they'll just call you Dub.
I don't like, no.
What if they just called you Double Dubs? I like it. Dose Dubs.
Code name W. Hello, I'm Officer W. This area is under search and seizure for extraterrestrial life forms.
So clearly, Whitley wants to work with the
extraterrestrials. She's thinking more of Men in Black than, yeah, I think, X-Files, yeah, you know?
Not like we bought a zoo with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
Do you think I could, that if that could happen to me, I'd be down.
Though we bought a zoo?
So I think if I could live out the plot of We Bought a Zoo with aliens instead of zoo animals.
Do you think that's, like, a little dangerous? You know, they had that one time where they had to, like, fix the tiger who was...
I think it was a
fix him?
I've never seen We Bought a Zoo. I think it was a snake.
You've never seen We Bought a Zoo, but you still want to live out the plot of We Bought a Zoo.
So this is, like, the most dangerous part. He had to go help this tiger feel better because...
Because the tiger was sad.
The tiger was sad and it's starting to get a little old. So, like, that's pretty dangerous. So, like, what if you had to do that with like, E.T.?
I mean, E.T.'s pretty lovable. It's kind of small. I don't think it's that intimidating.
As long as they don't feel like a...
caged
it's
animal.
More of, like, a texture thing for me with aliens. Like,
a texture thing?
As long as the aliens have a good texture about them, I'm down.
What if so you're talking, like, no slimy?
No slime.
What if we're talking about, like...
sandpaper.
Like, 85-year-old grandma.
Or what if it's, like, the giant kind of cockroach, like, District 9?
Yeah. Either one of those, I feel like...
I would be okay with that.
What if you had to become an extraterrestrial for a short period of your life? Sort of like Avatar or District 9.
Well, see...
Because of this job.
She would be an extraterrestrial if she left Earth. Right? To, like, other people.
That's true.
I would be an extraterrestrial if I lived on another planet.
If you lived on the moon for 5 minutes...
Yes, then I would be an extraterrestrial.
So, technically, everyone who landed on the moon is an extraterrestrial. They didn't live there long, but they were there.
Now we're assuming that the answer to question number one is true.
That is true. We are assuming that. That would be, was the moon landing real?
Oh, okay.
Come on, Willow, you have to...
Keep up. We're just doing this for your benefit.
This is for you.
Oh, I should have written these down. Okay. So,
that was really all the questions.
Last question?
Well, that would be the law enforcement. Is that kind of going to be what your job is? And would it be more of an X-Files type position or Men in Black?
Okay. I can just tell you right now that the job I applied for is flight controller. So I don't know that...
Flight controller for human or alien spacecraft?
Maybe both. Maybe I think I'm going to be like the airplane tower person for both human and alien spacecraft.
So I think we're looking at somewhere in between X-Files and
Men in Black. Sort of
kind of like a director role.
I see. Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
A director of flight.
Yeah, where she's dealing with the people who are doing the X-Files stuff, but also she, like, kind of knows the agents in the Men in Black section of NASA.
I gotcha.
NASA
so
well.
She's, like, the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
The Hannah Montana of the NASA industry.
That's true,
if
yes.
You will.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's what I strive for in my jobs that I'm looking at right now. I'm not looking for who's going to hire me. I'm looking for, can I be the Hannah Montana of extraterrestrials?
Interesting. I mean, I think that's something that we should all look for in this
we
world.
We should all strive for that, really.
Truly. Yeah. And I think with your new position as a flight controller, you could really use that platform to save the drug dealers.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You're so high up in the air.
Oh, yeah. A spacecraft could definitely make it over the wall that
Think about
that
it.
Donnie's
you could use the extraterrestrials to get the drugs over.
Yeah, easily.
And I mean, because they're not going to regulate those.
Yeah, no one's going to mess with extraterrestrials.
Especially if it's District 9 type extraterrestrials.
Yeah. And
Donnie's, if we're talking E.T., like, maybe. Yeah, you know?
But Donnie's small hands, like, he would... There's no way he'd try and confront...
And that's just, like, a lot for one man to deal with. Yeah. And there's no way he's going to be able to hire anyone to do that.
And that's more of a global issue than, like, an American issue. So, I feel like maybe they'd just be like, yeah, let them be aliens. Let them go,
you know?
Like, let them do their alien True. Stuff.
Will you be visiting Area 51 frequently, do you think?
I hope so.
I feel like that should... Like, first Again. Day on the job, say... I'd like to go to Area 51.
Go to Area 51 and get a full tour.
Yeah, just say that it'd be very, like, crucial to your job.
To really understand this position, I need to go
You need to know the ins and outs.
Yeah, I want to go see Area 51.
Because, you know, you want to do the best job you can do, you need to have all
and
the information.
Just, like, you know, don't be overbearing with it or, like, too forward. Be like, it's okay if I can't go today, but, like...
Probably the next month.
Yeah, tomorrow. At least.
Not today, but tomorrow, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so they... So they don't think that they made, like, the wrong choice on hiring.
And they know that you're not, like, there to... You're not fucking around, you know? Like, I came here, and I need to have this now. Because I'm dedicated to the job.
Yeah. I'm willing to put my life on the line for these extraterrestrials. This is W speaking. Again, like, I'm here for the humans in the flight. I'm here for the aliens in the flight. And I need to know what I'm dealing with here, so...
Yeah.
That's exactly what W should say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yeah, I think this. I think you have a bright future.
I think you do
NASA.
Too.
At NASA. Okay.
Yeah. I think this is good that you're getting this out now, so you can think about these things and really have your questions like streamlined, so that when you get to that section, whip out your notebook. Like, this is what I need to know, man.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go into this position blind.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm most worried about for the interview is, what if I either one, don't talk about Jeff Probst's penis enough, or two, I talk about it too much.
I'm concerned if you talk about it at all.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
I see the questions that we've brought up. Like, I think those really apply to your job and like the future at NASA. Whereas this penis nonsense.
Hey, I've shown all of you the picture, and both of you, not all of you. I've seen both of you the picture. It is. It's nice.
Oh my god.
That picture brings me... I've just, like, invested so much of my life into that picture.
I don't like that you're saying this. I don't like that you've invested your life into it.
It just brings me so much joy.
I also
nobody
don't like
gets,
that.
Nobody gets joy from this picture.
I think,
with
no.
It.
The cargo short tan is funny, but it's, like, you just can't... No...
I just see it and I just smile.
That's so concerning.
She gets more joy out of this than like anyone's ever gotten out of Survivor, the show that he hosts.
Probably.
You know?
That's fair. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Oh, we can't talk about penises in this podcast, so I don't know that we have anything going for us.
That was definitely a small question.
That was definitely small.
That was a small question.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so I've got a story that I got to tell, and Whitley knows the story. We haven't told Emily yet because we want to hear some like first-hand reaction, second-hand reaction, I guess, from her based off this story that we have to tell.
Lay it on us.
And so this was like a week ago, a little over a week ago, me and Whitley and our friend Parker are at HEB buying some normal groceries for this getaway weekend that we were about to go on, and we're in the condiment aisle, you know, buying condiments like every normal grocery shopper
does. As you
does.
Would in a condiment aisle.
Ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. And while we're grabbing some mayonnaise, you know, one little thing of mayonnaise for the weekend, we see this guy, and he has a cart with 8 to 12 48-ounce bottles of mayonnaise in his cart. And that is it. That's the only thing this man has in his cart.
The first place he went in the store,
yes.
And the last place that he went in the store, he
yes.
went directly for the mayonnaise aisle. Stuck
yeah.
his whole arm into the shelf and raked in at least 12 48-ounce
yeah.
bottles of
that's
mayonnaise.
That's all he bought
that's,
the whole trip?
That, I mean, that's as far as we know. And, you know, our friend Parker said, well, what if he's just buying something that requires a lot of mayonnaise? And I said, you might be right, but if you're making a dinner, the first aisle you go to is not the condiment aisle. You don't go to the mayonnaise section and say, I need all of this. Because trust me,
the mayonnaise will still be there whenever you leave, because not that many people are highly invested in mayonnaise. I am. I love mayonnaise. I love Miracle Whip. They're great condiments, but I would never buy that much mayonnaise. It's just not necessary.
Maybe he's making a lot of egg salad, though.
Maybe. Well, see, that's the question. What's this man doing with all that mayonnaise?
Tuna salad.
What? Okay, here I have a couple ideas for what he could have been doing. One, he was either making... Well, okay, so I have... Number one, that idea is... He was trying to make the world's biggest pot of spinach dip. But he already bought the spinach, and he realized he forgot the mayonnaise.
The mayonnaise is so easy to forget, you know? Because the condiment aisle is usually, like, in the back of the store. It's not really where you're like, oh, good, I just forgot to buy my life supply of mayonnaise. You know, it's, like, kind of back in the back. So, you get home, you always assume you have mayonnaise, too, you know? Like,
if this dude is trying to make the largest vat of spinach dip, I don't think he would... think that he has that much mayonnaise. You don't forget that you have
maybe he's
500 ounces of mayonnaise.
A dinner that is only mayonnaise salads. Coleslaw, I'm saying it's mayonnaise, but like potato salad, tuna salad, egg salad, spinach dip, just mayonnaise-based items. And that's like the basis of his dinner. He was having a themed dinner, if you will. Mayonnaise was the theme. Mayonnaise-themed dinner.
We did a lot of mayonnaise research last night, and I'm now concerned.
Actually unrelated. Yeah. Completely unrelated.
I'm concerned. Like, should we have stopped this man? Like, was he being a detriment to himself? Because
mayonnaise
ruins almost everything in your life.
If you have joint pain, mayonnaise isn't good for that. Increases.
Pregnant. Does not help
and
that.
You know, I don't.
Recovering from diarrhea.
Yeah. You can't have mayonnaise if you're recovering from diarrhea. If you have heart problems, it's an oil-based condiment, and it just serves there's a lot of problems if you eat it in large quantities.
I think the amount of knowledge we have on mayonnaise is truly concerning at this point in our lives.
Okay,
option number two is nuclear bunker.
That's what he was stocking for his nuclear bunker.
Think about the way the world's going right now. It's not that far-fetched.
But I love mayonnaise. You know, I grew up on sandwiches that had mayonnaise on it. I love mayonnaise.
It's kind of weird that you're saying this.
But if I'm in a nuclear bunker, I don't think the first food that I'm... I think I could live without mayonnaise.
But I mean, think about it. The only thing in his cart is mayonnaise. So he's probably already stocked almost everything else. He's going down, checking his, everything he has, his supplies. And he's like, what am I forgetting?
What's
mayonnaise.
The one thing that goes with everything.
Because this man obviously loves mayonnaise-themed salads. We've established that at this point.
That's what his bunker foods are. It's tuna salad. It's really packed in there.
Yeah, tuna salad.
Maybe that's just his way of whenever doomsday does come and people are knocking on his door.
He's
to like
a lot
say,
of salads.
Hey, let me in. He'd be like, you don't want to come in here. I only have tuna salad.
It smells so bad.
He's been in there for a few weeks at that point, you know?
Yeah, and then they would the people would just turn around and go, he's only got tuna salad. Mm-hmm. And then they would just walk off and they'd go find somewhere else to live.
That's true.
And they wouldn't, he'd never
You'd
even have to
with,
worry
like,
about.
The canned vegetable guy.
Yeah, so He's seen The Walking Dead, and he's seen how brutal it can get. So he's just trying to risk management, you know?
That's true.
Maybe mayonnaise has some, radiation protection properties that we don't know about.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he's just coating his walls.
Maybe.
With mayonnaise.
That's an interesting... We hadn't considered that.
My idea was maybe he's just confused, and his small daughter or small child, if he has a small child, got sprayed by a skunk, and instead of tomato juice, he just thought, I'll just pour mayonnaise all over it.
I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. I'm just saying that you're wrong.
I don't know.
It's not a great idea.
Maybe he's just confused.
Pregnant wife. And she's just like, I need mayonnaise.
All of it.
See, but we've already established this man clearly. We should have stopped this man then.
Yeah,
and said, hey man, your wife can't eat mayonnaise. It's bad for her.
With the knowledge we now have, we know.
So, sorry.
He should have done his research.
Man and his wife.
Man and his wife.
All right, second idea is that he owns... Well, he doesn't... My second idea is that he has a lot of kids, and they all have lice at the same time.
Did you put mayonnaise in your hair for lice?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, gosh, that's gross.
I think so.
It, suffocates them, because nothing can...
Because it's
mayonnaise
oil.
Mayonnaise kills everything that touches.
We learned anything from our extensive research last night, that the right time to have mayonnaise is no time.
See, but the man just didn't take me as someone who
would have multiple opportunities to have a child.
They never do.
Try to say that in the nicest way possible. But I just don't think...
Maybe small minutes.
Like 11, 10 kids. I mean, I would assume that a 48-ounce bottle would probably at least do
feed,
you
that's
good
at
for
least four.
One... Oh, at least four?
Four? Oh, salads? Yeah, probably four
No,
salads.
Like heads. Heads to cover for lice.
Oh, I don't know.
We're still in this lice business.
That's fair. Have you ever considered, though, if what you're saying is true, maybe the... He was eating so much mayonnaise because he had done all his research, and he just was not up for this life anymore. Death by mayonnaise.
That could be it. However, that just seems like a... Not a very expensive, because I don't think the bottles were that expensive. Maybe, like, $2, $3 at the most. So like,
but if you think
but
about,
that's just a weird way to kind of, like,
maybe
go
maybe he
out.
Doesn't want, like... He doesn't want it to be ruled a suicide. He doesn't want, like, that rep on him, you know?
Yeah,
like,
instead they're just going
to
come
like,
in and see 12 empty bottles of mayonnaise.
He just loved mayonnaise too much. And they'll be like, at least he died doing something he loved. And then his family can find, you know, find some comfort in that. That at least this man died doing something he loved, which is eating mayonnaise.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's better than...
But you're definitely wrong on this one. This man looked happy.
He looked happy, but not happy enough to ever have
I mean,
children.
You, no, look, you don't buy 12 bottles of mayonnaise and just...
Obviously,
like, you're not
he does.
Happy with it.
Obviously, he does.
If you're buying 12 bottles of mayonnaise, you're pretty happy with your decision.
That's true.
Because you don't just accidentally do that or do it for a sad reason.
Maybe he was going on a six-month hike and he thought, what do I need a can on a six-month hike?
That's I've actually researched this a lot. That would not... You would not take mayonnaise with you.
Yeah, that'd be a really, really bad, really poor condiment. To bring.
Yeah, you can always bring ketchup.
You can use it as sunscreen. You can use it as bug spray. The uses of mayonnaise outside of the...
I don't know if it would be a great sunscreen protector.
You put it on thick enough, it would work real well.
It's really oily.
Life does not go through that mayonnaise. Have you ever looked at a mayonnaise jar? You don't see anything.
Yeah, but then you would literally... You'd just be walking around... Like,
although if you rub it into your skin, it would kind of just be oil. That's true.
Yeah, and
you'd
I think that
basically
would only,
be frying yourself.
So it would... Do the exact opposite.
Although,
this dude would walk away from his hike with 33 burns.
What?
Just waterproof your whole body. Dip yourself in mayonnaise.
What?
Seal the water right out.
When would you need to waterproof your whole body?
I
what
mean,
situations?
I don't know this man's life, so I don't know the situation where he would need that. But I'm sure that at some point in your life, you've thought, wouldn't it be better if I was waterproof?
Never thought that, ever.
I've thought that so many days. I was like walking around like, if I was waterproof... Nothing would change. And that would just be so nice.
Nothing
we're
would...
already hydrophobic.
I think we thoroughly discussed
I think I'm exhausted.
What this guy might be doing with this mayonnaise of his. What other ideas did you have?
You can't expect me to... what you're asking me to do right now is like if you said, hey, let's build a fire, but I have to bring the stones to put around the fire. I have to bring the wood for the fire, and now you're asking
hey,
me to
no,
light
no, no, no. Hey,
fire.
We had the NASA talking point. That's
that
good,
was pretty good.
That was, I think that's our best segment.
I agree. That's pretty good.
Ooh, you want to do our grandma's Facebook segment?
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great.
This
yes.
is questions big.
Yeah, these are, well, I don't know.
I don't know that it's really a question. I just
I think
shit
it's just
my
a
grandma.
Story. Yeah, my grandma did a very questionable thing on Facebook one time.
Grandma,
I love my grandmother so much, but she needs to be taken down a couple notches.
My grandmother is always on. My grandmother has liked every single picture I've ever been tagged in on Facebook. Every single one.
Hey,
there will be no likes.
A very
the only like will
grandma.
Be my grandma. She also saves them all to her computer, and then she'll like post them onto her own Facebook page if you post a picture. And she saves it and then posts it again on hers and just like captions it like Emily at school.
Hey, you know that's
for all the grandkids.
That's a really supportive and not very embarrassing thing to do.
Did you see my grandma's profile picture?
Oh my goodness.
That's my
grandma's just like that too, except she has her hand right here.
There are much worse things that a grandma could do.
Oh really?
On
do you have
Facebook.
A personal
yeah,
experience
I have a
with
very
this?
Personal experience with this. So my grandma. Great lady. This is the grandma on my dad's side, just so that everyone is clear with that. Because my other grandma would definitely not
I
do
feel
this.
Like your paternal side is very Facebook active.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it was like freshman year of high school, and it was Christmas, and we were all up in Lubbock, where my family is at. And some of my cousins had kind of been talking with my grandma about making a Facebook. And she was like, yeah, sure, I'll make one. And so our cousins were helping her with that. And they, you know, they like set it all up for her, and she needed to have a profile picture. And my grandma was part of the Red Hat Society, which mm-hmm. is kind of like an old ladies group. And for a fundraiser event, I think it was a fundraiser event, maybe they just did it for fun, I don't know. They did a old lady lingerie calendar.
Yes.
Okay. So this is not something that I'm proud to admit, but my grandma was on that calendar.
Oh my god, what month is she?
I don't know. I did not pay attention to the calendar.
February.
Now it's old lady.
That's the sexiest lingerie.
It was old lady lingerie, so it like wasn't super revealing. But my grandma.
What is old lady lingerie?
I don't know. I can't explain it to you.
I would like to know the parameters that define old lady versus
it's just not
regular.
Not very revealing.
We gotta figure this out.
It's not very revealing.
All right.
Anyway.
But the point of lingerie is you gotta let everything hang out.
No, that's not true.
That, I don't think it's
not when you're
at all.
Not when you're 65 or
it's
older.
Like, it's like
or even younger than that. There's
when I type in old lady into Google and put L, lingerie is nowhere on the list.
Shocker. Alright, continue.
So my grandma needed a profile picture, and logically she chose her old lady lingerie calendar picture. Okay. And no, I don't have a picture of that.
Oh my god. That's pregnant people.
Okay. Too. So she puts that as her profile picture, and then she gets a notification from Facebook saying that her account has been permanently banned for pornographic images because she had put that on her profile picture. And so my grandma has been removed from Facebook.
Indefinitely?
Well, she made another account, but her first
one
has been removed for pornographic images, and I don't know if there's any other, like, as a grandson, that's not something that you just, like, flaunt around, like, but, so that's my grandma's story.
Oh my gosh.
My grandmother posted happy birthday, Charlotte. But she, instead of posting it on her friend's timeline that was named Charlotte, she posted it on her own timeline and didn't even tag Charlotte in it. So there's no way to know if Charlotte actually knows that my grandma told her happy birthday.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. Hang on. There's a really good one. Oh, she posted, having instant pot lemon butter chicken. Really good. I will do this again.
She just wants people to know she made a really good dinner. 10 out of 10 would
13
recommend.
Minutes later, having a glass of Roland's homemade strawberry Riesling from 2010. My grandpa used to make his own wine. It was not good. It's so bad.
Oh my gosh. My grandma shares so many things on Facebook that I unfollowed her because I would get a notification every single time. And I'm not kidding, it would be like 15 every like 2 hours. God. I don't know what she does with her free time. Most of it is recipes for things that I know for a fact she will not make. Wow. But she's never posted a picture of herself in lingerie, so.
Yeah.
That... I guess I have that to be grateful for in my life.
That's positive.
Yeah.
Although, what a cool grandma, you know? Not afraid
no.
to wear lingerie.
No. She should be.
And make a calendar. Do you have a calendar?
No, I do not have the calendar.
You should have a calendar.
You should have gotten
no.
one of those signed.
No, for
Ooh,
sure not.
You could have gotten it signed. No,
you
no.
could sell that thing for
Jacob, just
probably
about...
some big money.
No, probably not any money.
According to everything I just found on Google, you would make a lot of money on that calendar.
Just think about, like, when your grandma's gone, that would be something you would just be so grateful that you had, you know, to remember her by.
Her porn calendar.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
You're using my words against me
yeah,
again?
Yeah, because you're wrong.
Not saying you're wrong. I just think that's the worst idea
that's
you've ever
not
had.
A very good one.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. Didn't everybody like it? We should probably do that again sometime. And we will. So soon.
I don't know about you, Willie, but I'm
also very excited to do this again very soon. But I am going to add in here that if you want us to, if you have any questions for us and want us to tackle them, you can go to questionsbigandsmall.wordpress.com and let us know. Or you can just yell them to us on the streets. Maybe we'll hear them. Probably not.
Thanks for listening to our very first podcast episode all the way to the end. And here's that catchphrase that you've all been waiting for. Remember, zip-off pants are the only pants for you.
Well, that kind of sucked.
We'll work on it.
Adios.